Familiar passage, one we've looked at many times before. The life of Abraham and the mountaintop experience in his life. It's really one of the great mountaintop accounts in Scripture. It's an account that we've looked at a number of times. It paints a very clear, perhaps the most clear picture of the coming sacrifice of Christ upon Calvary. We know that the Lamb of God was going to be given to take away the sins of the world. God providing Himself a Lamb. Genesis 22. God used the life of Abraham to paint a canvas, to paint a picture of His own heart as He gave His only begotten Son for the sins of the world, dying in our place. And that's how we often approach the text. We look there and we see and hear the overtones so strongly. We often find ourselves thinking about that wonderful picture of the gospel, and it's a blessing to have the man who preached the gospel from that passage here with us this morning. That's how we look at it often. This morning I'd like to look at it from Abraham's perspective. So we won't repeat what we looked at last time when we considered Mount Moriah. We're going to look this morning at Abraham's perspective, this account found here in Genesis 22. And as I read the Bible, I'm confronted by the truth that no man was asked to give more than this man. No man. But yet, as Abraham's sacrifice to the Lord is offered, we don't see the heart of a devastated, broken man. We don't see a man who's hating God. We don't see a man shaking his fist at God. We don't see a man bitter. We don't see a man arguing. We don't see a man crying out to God saying, "I hate you, how could you possibly ask me to give my son?" We don't see that of Abraham. We see a man with a heart of worship. A man at a place of total surrender, a man who loves his God, and there are lessons for us. And I know we've looked at it a number of times, but there are lessons for us today in this passage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Abraham, as recorded here in Genesis 22. We thank you for his faith and his love for you. Lord, help us to learn lessons this morning that you desire us to learn. Pray that your Spirit would work in our midst this morning. I ask that you would be exalted and uplifted. Lord, challenge us as we need to be challenged. Help us to see our need to climb that mountain and surrender all to you. Lord, if we haven't, I pray that you would help us see that which you desire to be laid upon the altar this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the passage. Genesis 22, verse 1, and we'll read down to 14. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham." And he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." He said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Even reading now, things jump off the page, and I trust they do for you too. But I want us to think this morning about the demands that God places on your life and mine as Christians. Because God places demands on our lives. After all, He made us. He created you and me, and He saved those of us that are believers. He's our Redeemer. Surely He has the right to make demands on our life, and He does. But from our perspective, sometimes we may not want to participate in what God calls us to do. Because they are profound. They're personal sacrifices that He calls us to, and it's hard. God demands of you and me that are saved, you and me that call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, God expects for us, or from us, total, absolute, unquestioning obedience to His word and will. I'll say it again. He wants you and me that are saved to be totally, absolutely, unquestioning obedient to His word and His will. In 1 Samuel 15, He said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken better than the fat of lambs, of rams." Over, we find in Romans 12, He tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is reasonable service. That's what He expects. And this morning, we need to ask ourselves the question, have we climbed the mountain that Abraham climbed? Have we climbed the mountain of surrender? Have we resolved in our hearts this morning to obey God in every area? Doesn't matter what it is. In every area will we obey God. Perhaps you've tried. Perhaps you've started and you've looked at the mountain and thought, that mountain is too big for me to climb. And you didn't even start. Perhaps you've tried and you've failed and fallen. Perhaps you're kind of halfway up, but you're still struggling. We need to climb the mountain to surrender to God. Now, I know that there's a part of us that wants to rebel against God when He says, do this. Right? It's in all of us. We all fight against it. When someone tells us, you need to do this, we all kind of kick against it like a donkey would kick against the yoke or whatever it may be. We fight against that yoke. But His yoke is easy and His burden's light. I'd like for us this morning to join Abraham as he climbs that very lonely mountain of absolute surrender. There are some steps we need to take in order to climb. First of all, surrender to God involves listening. In verse 1, you note it there. God did tempt Abraham, or test, and said unto him, Abraham, and I love these words, and he, Abraham, he said, behold, I. You just look in the Bible, your little here and am are in italics. Those words aren't necessary, particularly. Behold, here I am. Behold, I. What a response. And I want us to think about the fact this morning that you and I need to be in a position to hear God. We need to be listening to God in order to surrender to Him. And in order to listen, first of all, you need a relationship. Abraham, from what we can tell, either got saved back in Genesis 12 or maybe Genesis 15. But the truth of the matter is, he was a believer. He had a relationship with his God. The reality of that relationship is seen in Genesis 15:6, where Abraham believed God and he counted it to him or unto him for righteousness. The reality is seen there, but the truth is their relationship has been very rocky up to this point. Back in Genesis 12, Abraham and Lot, Abraham heard the word of the Lord and he obeyed. He departed, just as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 at the time when he left Haran, like God said. It's in Genesis 12. And then at the end of Genesis 12, what happens? Abraham went down into Egypt and sojourned there. Was that obedience to God's command and God's will? No. Then we find him lying about Sarah, his wife, said that, oh, she's my sister. And only this week, something struck me about that passage. Pharaoh was going to marry this lady, going to take her unto himself. And Abraham didn't say a thing. It got to the point where everything was progressing. Sarah's been dragged away. And what does Abraham do? We know of nothing. What got Pharaoh's attention? God sent great plagues upon his house. That's what got his attention. And then he goes to Pharaoh and says, it goes to Abraham and says, what have you done? You know, you've deceived me and you've brought this judgment upon my house. Now, Abraham kept quiet. He lied to start off with. And then when everything was going bad and Sarah's been taken away, he kept quiet. He didn't say anything. And I think, how can you do that? their relationship's rocky. Then there's the whole mess with Hagar. We know all of that in Genesis 16. And then again, you think he would have learnt from Egypt. But the king of Gerar, a man by the name of Abimelech, he obviously Sarah was a beautiful lady. Do you get that impression? To have royalty desiring her wherever they seem to go. Abraham didn't learn the lesson. He lied once again. And again, when the king was going to take Sarah, he said nothing. And it wasn't until the king had a dream that God revealed it to him in a dream that he knew the truth. Abraham wasn't perfect, but he loved the Lord. He knew the Lord, and the Bible tells us that Abraham was called a friend of God. Now, he had a relationship with God. I want to ask you this morning the question, and I think most of you know the answer. Well, you do know the answer. Are you saved? Are you in a relationship with your God? Because in order to listen and surrender and be obedient in the ways God wants, you need to have a relationship with God, else you can't do it. If you are saved, then I have no doubt that your relationship with God's been rocky, same as it was for Abraham. I have no doubt that there have been valleys and there have been mountains. I have no doubt there's been difficulties, just like Abraham. But like Abraham, in order to surrender to God, we need to be listening. You can be in a relationship with God in a very distant way. So that if God called out to you at the top of his voice, you will be so consumed with the things of the world you wouldn't even hear him. You wouldn't know what the Word of God says because it's been so long since you've had a quiet time. You just close to the things of God in such a way that God could scream your name and you wouldn't hear. I don't think God screamed Abraham here. I get the impression, and it's only an impression, that Abraham was searching or seeking the face of God. Because when God said, Abraham, he said, here I am, I'm right here, Lord, what do you want me to do? God is on the lookout. He's looking even now for people who want to be in a deep, close relationship with him. He's looking for that. John 4:23 tells us that the Father seeketh such to worship him. And he's talking about those that worship in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking or seeking, he's desiring, wanting to find those that are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. In your quiet times, are you hungry for God? Or is it routine? Are you hungry to know what God says in his word and what God has revealed to you? At church, even now, are you hungry? Are you wanting to know what God wants for you? Or are you here because it's just what we do? God is looking for people that are hungry for him, who desire him, who want that close relationship, who aren't satisfied when there's barriers or hindrances between them and their God. You know, we all know what it's like. We've got a relationship with God. We know what it's like to have sin hinder the relationship. We all do. But are we content when that sin hinders the relationship? We ought not be. When there's something between us and our God, we ought to do something about it. Because God has made it possible for us to be clean, for us to be forgiven, for us to be brought back into close fellowship with God. It's all been done and it's all the same. It's all by Christ on the cross. Yet we, for some reason, are content to have a relationship that is distant. That if God would scream our name, we wouldn't hear. And that's not good enough if we want to climb the mountain of surrender. The Father's seeking you and I to worship him in spirit and in truth. And in order to do that, Abraham needed to be in a relationship. He needed to be ready and listening. But he also needed that revelation. He needed God to speak to him. Now, in our day, we can sit back and say, well, I don't really know what the Lord wants me to do. He hasn't revealed it to me. Read the Bible. Abraham didn't have a Bible to turn to. He was there waiting and listening, and God spoke and he listened and he obeyed. We've got no excuse. No, we've got it here in black and white on the page. We need to read it. God has revealed his will for us. Now, the revelation for Abraham was very clear. He said, take thine son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. There was no grey area in his command. Ishmael had been sent away. There was one son, that was Isaac. And God was asking Abraham for everything. Absolutely everything. His present joy, his child whom he loved, the joy of his life of that time, But not only the present, but also the future. All his hopes, his dreams, the very promise of God was bound up in Isaac, and God here is asking for it back. And God, I want to tell you this morning, wants nothing less than everything. He wants everything. He wants us to present our bodies that living sacrifice. He wants us to bear his cross and come after him. You know what Jesus said in Luke 14? He said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If you're not prepared to die to self, you can't follow Christ. You can't do both. If you're not prepared to bear the cross, die to self, die to the world, we can't be followers of Christ. We need to be dead men and women carrying the cross upon our back, marching out of the city, bearing that instrument of crucifixion. I remember a preacher, I don't know who it was. He said, "You knew one thing about a man carrying a cross out of a city. You knew that he wasn't coming back." Christian, we die to self. We die to sin. We die to the world. Don't fall into the trap of marching on back. Don't march back to the world. Don't forsake Christ and all that the Christian life contains. It's hard. Climbing a mountain in order to sacrifice your son is hard. Climbing the mountain spiritually and figuratively in our life and sacrificing that which we love most dear is hard, but it is worth every ounce of effort because that's what honors God. That's what God expects. God was very precise with what he told Abraham to do. He's very precise with what he told us to do. He told us to present our bodies a sacrifice and to take up our cross. There's no grey area. Sometimes we like to think there is, but there's not. When God speaks, you know, he didn't tell Abraham everything. He didn't tell him exactly where. He didn't tell him all the details. He didn't give everything up front because he wanted Abraham to obey by faith. We want all the details up front. We want to know it all. You know why we want to know it all? Because we want to calculate whether it's worth the effort. Yes, I'll sacrifice that part of my life, Lord. I'll give up my music, but what are you going to do for me? Yes, I'll sacrifice that and I'll do what you ask, but what's it going to, you know, how's it going to work out? What's going to happen? How am I going to benefit? We want to know whether it's worth the effort. You know, we often ask those questions. What are we going to get out of it? How's it going to work out? What's the end of the story? But if you and I were Abraham, if I was in his sandals or shoes or whatever he wore, I would have a bigger question in my mind. Why? Would you ask that question? Lord, why? Why do you want me to sacrifice my son? Why do you want me to kill Isaac? He's the one that we were been waiting for. He's the one that you promised, the one that you gave, the one that the nations are going to be blessed. Why? It doesn't make any sense. God doesn't explain the why to men. He doesn't really need to. He wants us to obey when we don't understand why. He wants us to follow what his word says when we're just confused and we think, how does this fit and how does it work? Don't worry about the why, just obey. The why doesn't matter. Or it ought not. We need to walk by faith, trusting God, trusting that the path of God or following the path of the will of God is what's best for us because God knows what's best. We know that he's working those things together, all things together for good. It's going to be for our good when we follow the will of God. It'll be for his glory when we follow the will of God. Yet so often we sit back going, why are you asking me to do this, God? Why do you want me to do that? We need not ask why. Surely that should not stop us. Simply walk by faith. Climbing the mountain of surrender requires listening to God, but it also requires faith. Abraham rose in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac and all the things they needed, and went. He went by faith. Abraham was a man prepared to obey. Realize at the end there of verse, I think it's maybe 5 or 4 in the middle. It's on the third day that Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. He had 3 days and 3 nights to think about this, about what he was going to do, how it was going to happen. That's a long time to think about what's been asked. That's a long time for doubts to creep in. That's a long time to come to the conclusion that this makes no sense at all, and it'd make much more sense for me to go down the mountain and forget that God said any of this, because I can't see how this is going to work out. But Abraham was a man of faith. He knew that Isaac was the future. He knew that. He knew that while Isaac was the future, God asked for Isaac back. That's all that he needed. I know Isaac's the future, but God asked for him back, so what am I going to do? I'm going to obey God. Walk by faith. And that's the key to this life, by the way. You know, they're little words, the just shall live by faith. Or we walk by faith, not by sight. Little words, little phrases, but that really is the key to it all. To walk by faith. God, we need God's help that we may come to a place where even when God's commands and God's word doesn't make sense, we still obey. Not leaning to our understanding, but trusting God. You know, Abraham knew why he was there. He was there to obey God and sacrifice his beloved son. Everything, that was everything to him. That was his whole world, his whole future. But he saw that as an act of worship. Worship is simply this, ascribing worth to someone, taking a place of humility before God when we worship God, and leaving him and him alone in that place of exaltation. We're not competing with our God, not fighting with him. When we worship our God, we're not trying to lift ourselves up in his sight. We're simply humbling ourselves in his presence that he alone may be exalted. That's what worship is. Abraham was a man of worship because he knew, or he saw his God as worthy of his son. He didn't question, oh, what's going to happen? How's this going to work? He just knows that God is worthy of what he's asking. Abraham trusted his God. We know we can turn to Hebrews 11 and read that it was by faith that Abraham did these things. Romans 4, I'll quote you verse 20 and 21. Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Abraham was very confident, and his faith was grounded in the fact that God had made a promise, and he believed God's promise. He knew that, and believed, we read in Hebrews, that if necessary, God would raise Isaac from the dead. You look in verse 5, you see that he told those two young men that he left partway down the mountain. He said, we're going to go yonder and worship and we will come again. He was a man who had faith. He was confident that God would work all of this out for good and his glory. This is the place God needs us to come to. A place where no one or nothing is more important or precious to us than God. Can you say that of yourself? Is there anything more important to you than God? Have you come to the place of total surrender? If you have, or if you ever do, you'll learn that you and I, we have no rights, no possessions, no positions, nothing but Jesus Christ and his will for our life. That's all we need. None of the rest is important. Christ and Christ alone is. Where are you in regard to this matter of total surrender? Abraham was ready and listening. He believed and, what was the word? He had faith. Surrender requires faith. But lastly, surrender requires action. It wasn't just enough to sit down in camp, know what God said, believe what God said. No, he was compelled to obey. He wasted no time. Verse 3, he rose up early in the morning, got himself organized, gathered everything that he needed to obey God and do what God commanded, didn't leave anything out, didn't take anything extra. And you see a sense of urgency in his actions. He's a man who's convinced of what God says and he's going to obey. Reminds me of Christ when he said in John 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And coming from probably the biggest procrastinator here, procrastination has no place in the Christian life, especially when it comes to surrender. It's very easy for us to be convicted about something and the Lord say, you have to leave that behind and say, yeah, I will tomorrow, or I'll deal with that later, or I'll worry about that down the track. I'm not prepared at this point in time to do that. It would have been easy for Abraham to sleep in or busy himself all morning doing other things and kind of take off after lunch or whatever it may be. Could have easily have found something else to do. He didn't delay, he obeyed. Don't delay, obey. You know, if you don't, it gets harder. I hate doing the dishes. I hate doing the dishes. But have you ever noticed, they get harder after you put them off? Like if you leave them for a day, they're just harder. And you wish that you didn't put it off, and you wish that you dealt with it straight away. If you leave them for, and this is going back a while, but if you leave them for a day or two or three or four or five, you're making the job awful. Something that ought to have been simple, something that ought to have been quick, something that ought to have been painless or relatively, it only take you 10 minutes or so, becomes like 4 hours of your day. And it's horrible work. Well, if the Lord's convicting us about something, don't put it off, because we're just going to make it stinky and horrible and hard work. It's going to be harder than it needs to be. If we hold tightly, I think it was Corrie ten Boom that said that, you know, she was very careful not to hold things tightly because it hurt when God pried those things from her grip. She learned the lesson. We need to learn the lesson too. He left nothing out, he took everything. Followed that urgent command and obeyed. We need to obey in the same way. God speaks to our hearts, we need to obey. He prepared, he departed, he journeyed, he ascended the mountain, and now you can imagine him standing upon the summit or the pinnacle of the mountain. He's up there and he knows what he needs to do. And the whole way up, if I was him, I would have been waiting for some intervention. I don't want to do this, Lord, but I'm going to follow what your word says. Do you think he was going to kill his son? Absolutely. He was going to do exactly what God said. Verse 9 and 10, they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Notice that when God calls us to sacrifice or surrender something, you have to do it. You have to do it. Abraham had to do it. He had to go up the top of the mountain. He had to bind the wood or lay the wood down, lay his son down. He had to take the knife in his own hand. God expects of us to sacrifice or surrender things personally. It's a personal journey. God is determined that you and I be personally involved in serving him. It's not good for someone else to do it. Abraham couldn't have sent the two young fellas that he took with him up the mountaintop, although that may have been easier for him. I can't bear to do that. Would you go and do this for me? It's what God told us to do. No, it's a personal command. We need to present our own bodies, that living sacrifice. It's a personal command. Are you personally involved with God and his work? Because he has a plan for you. But that plan won't come to pass unless you obey. He has many blessings that he wants to pour upon you. He wants to use you for his glory. But that won't happen unless you obey. You know, you can sit back and send other people out and hold on to those things which God asks you to surrender, but the truth is your life won't glorify God unless you obey. But Abraham willingly, completely obeyed God's command. He held nothing back. And I can't, like I mentioned at the start, I can't think of someone who was asked to give more apart from God the Father. What an act of love and worship. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't grumbling. He wasn't complaining. He was a cheerful giver. Where are you when it comes to that mountain? Have you come to that place of surrender where the things that you hold most dear, you lay before God and offer them? Maybe you're at the base of the mountain looking up, thinking, that's too hard, or it's not worth it, or I'm perfectly happy down here. Perhaps you've tried, and you know what those things are that the Lord has called you to surrender, but they've got such a grip that you're climbing up the mountain, you're seeking to sacrifice them, and you find yourself stumbling and falling. You slip back down to the base of the mountain, wrapped up in those things which you were supposed to be laying on the altar before God, and you find yourself so trapped you don't think you'll ever try and climb that mountain again. Perhaps you've tried climbing, got part way up, like where those young fellas were, and decided, I'm going to send other people on, or I'm not going to go any further because I just don't want to do that last little bit. I think that's where we get to. We get there with the things that God wants us to sacrifice, and we try and sacrifice something else instead. We say, God, I know that you're asking for this, but I'll give you this instead, and I hope that keeps you happy. Where are you when it comes to climbing that mountain? Most people find it too hard, and life at the bottom is far too fun. They enjoy all the things that God wants to call us apart from or set us apart from. But to Abraham, what was most precious? Isaac, an only son whom thou lovest? No. To Abraham, God was most precious. What's most precious to you? I find it interesting. Of all the things that God could have tested or asked Abraham to sacrifice, he asked for one thing. And I know when the Lord talks to me about these kind of things, he doesn't talk to me about 100 things, he doesn't talk to me about 10 things, he talks to me about one thing. And if the Lord's talking to you about something that he wants you to lay upon the altar, don't try and give him half a dozen other things when he's asking for one. Because he's asking for the one thing that he wants you to sacrifice. That's what he expects. And if you want to enjoy him getting the glory from your life and the blessings that flow, that's what he expects. How did Abraham get there? He believed that God was most precious. All of the details are really quite irrelevant. How could he sacrifice his son? How could he hold the knife above him? Well, he believed when God said, or God asked for Isaac, Isaac was already dead in Abraham's mind. It was quite simple. God asked for him back, and I'm going to give him back. I'm going to do what he said. I wish that we would always have that kind of faith when it comes to obedience. Abraham got to see some amazing things. You know, while they were marching up the side of the mountain, up the other side of the mountain comes a ram. God had it all set. He knew what Abraham would do. By the way, what was the purpose for this whole story? Why did God do this? Well, it wasn't for Isaac. God wasn't necessarily interested in Isaac. He was interested in Abraham. He was interested in proving Abraham's heart and his love for God. Now, this is an interesting question. Did God already know Abraham's heart and his love for God? I believe he did, because he knows everything. So really, who was this whole test for? I think it was for Abraham. That Abraham would know how much he loved his God and that it would increase his faith that he may go on to serve God more faithfully. God provided miraculously the lamb or the ram caught in the thicket. Abraham got to see some amazing things because of his obedience. When we obey God and walk by faith, we're inviting God to step into our lives, not with a rod of chastisement, but with blessing. We're inviting him to step down and work powerfully so that miracles may be done through us and people may be saved and God might get glory. We need to walk in obedience, for that invites him to work. We walk in disobedience, we're inviting him to work, but he'll come with a rod. Which way are you inviting God to intervene in your life? As we close, is there anything in your life that you haven't been willing to give up? Because if there is, I ask that you lay it upon the altar before the Lord today. If you really want God's best for you, then seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. God isn't really interested in your Isaacs. Not interested in those things. He's interested in you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would search our hearts. Father, we pray that you would reveal your will through your word this morning. Lord, help us to be mindful of your expectations, your clear expectations of us as Christians. Lord, we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. Help us to bear our cross. Help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you, which is reasonable service. Help us, Father, to walk in faithful obedience, that we may invite you into our lives to work in miraculous ways. Lord, I pray that your will be done. Pray for our church. Pray for those that are here this morning, that you would conform us, change us, mold us to be like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.